Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Now, racing clearly sears through your veins, but when did you first realise you could make a living out of it?
Well, making a living was always difficult because there's elements of what is making a living. Is it struggling that you're actually starving and you're able to just say that you're making a living? But where I made the chance, I won a championship in Ireland. And then I won the Formula Atlantic Championship, was half in Britain and half in Ireland and some races in Europe. And then this guy, George Mackin, who was the head of Marlboro at the time, and he wanted somebody to help create a brand called Raffles. And he asked me, would I help him? Because I had, as far as he was concerned, I had the gift of the gab and the blarney and all that sort of stuff.
I don't know what he's talking about.
No, he didn't know. He was completely a bad judge of character. But anyway, he put me together with James Hunt. Now, if you could imagine James Hunt and
combo.
I, that would be not a combo made in heaven, but it turned out to be magical. And I adored every moment that I had with that man. And we started a brand called Raffles, and that worked. And part of the payoff was that I did, I was part of the Marlboro World Championship team. And there were some unbelievable people in there. At the time, of course, none of them were world champions and they didn't have a clue. I certainly didn't have a clue. All I knew was that these were incredibly quick drivers. And James was one of them. Niki Lauda was the other. Emerson Fittipaldi. Alan Prost. And we know that they all became world champions. And I certainly didn't. But what I learned by being part of that mechanism, by being part of that team, both from a technical point of view, structure point of view, seeing how it was organised, and in particularly on a marketing point of view, I learned so much. And I said, well, clearly I'm not as good as these. But I didn't know how good they were. I wasn't to know that each and every one of them were going to become multiple world champions in many cases. But the fact that I was in that team was a godsend to me. I felt that this was a privilege. You'd pay fortune to be in a school of that ilk, but that's how it happened.
And fast forward to 91, where you've got your name emblazoned on the side of the car. How much of a kick was that?
Well, you say that, but you know, the real, if I'm to look back over times that I had, I would say my favourite time in racing was prior to that. Coming in and starting the team in 81. Finished the racing. Yeah, 81. 82, I found Senna and brought him to Macau in 83.
I mean, that is crazy. You have been associated with some of the biggest names in the sport.
The first time Senna drove a Formula 3 car was at Silverstone in June 1982. That's amazing. A long time ago.
Yeah.
And he had just come, he'd been testing for Russian Green in the morning in Formula 2000. He'd never driven a Formula 3 car. So I reached out to him and said, listen, why don't you come and drive this for me? And of course, we became friends, good friends, and we went to Macau with Dickie Bennett for the Marlboro team, which I still stayed close to, and we won Macau.
And did you see straight away this talent? Was it really wow?
And we can roll it on for 7 years more, but actually, a colleague of yours was in between because he'd never driven. In fact, he'd only ever done motorcycles, but I'd kind of known his dad before he died, and that was Graham Hill's son, Damon.
Yeah.
And how things, you know, roll out in 85 in Donington Park. The first time he drove a Formula 3 car was a Jordan car. So that was another world champion. And then how ironic should it be that he should come back and win our first ever Grand Prix. So, you know, a lot of love, a lot of memories. Mm. And you're talking about the gig here tonight. He's going to help me on stage tonight, and hopefully he's going to interview some of my kids for me. Along with Suggs from Madness. So that should be a nice little combo. We'll see how they get on together. Wow. Anyway, and then, of course, you're right, 91 and Michael Schumacher was a different thing. It was Formula One. That was pressure, pressure, pressure. Yeah. And
how much of a coup, though, to give Schumacher his debut in Formula One? That's something that...
Well...
Must always.
That wasn't an easy time for me. We were absolutely skint.
Well, you lost him straight afterwards, didn't you?
We lost him straight afterwards. But a lot of people don't actually realise the race he was due to do, which was Spa, because of Gasho. And then again, the funny thing is, Gasho should have been here, but missed a plane from Dubai today. And Gasho and I are good friends, even though he said for years and years that I was a contributory factor in him being banged up in the nick in England, and he got 18 months, you remember?
Yes, yeah, of course.
And his daughter is the most amazing, gorgeous singer. She's here tonight. And so anyway, this is a small world. They're all coming. All the hangers-ons, and then I just bludgeon them into coming and helping my charity. Anyway, so just go back a little bit to the Senate, the 80s. So, you know, I won a championship with Johnny Herbert. I had Jean Alesi. I met Martin Donnelly, and then there was Damon Hill. Obviously, in '83, I had Brundle.
Yeah.
So all your colleagues,
yeah.
Each and every one of them, I used to kick their ass. So make sure when you're next on the next show with them, you tell them, because you know, they came and they were all brilliant in their own right. Mm. I felt that Johnny Herbert was probably as close to Senna and Schumacher as anybody else.
Wow.
He was that good.
Wow.
He didn't apply himself in the same way, but he had bundles of natural ability.
Yeah.
Of course, then he had that big accident in our car in Brands Hatch, and that was a shocker. But then he went off and you know, we went to Benetton, and he went to this and that and the other. Peter Collins took him under his wing, and he did so well. And I'm so happy I see him. Obviously, every time I had a Grand Prix, I see him there. And I love Johnny. He lived with us for a long time and as a family, because he just felt comfortable. Our kids, the girls were growing up, and Johnny was there for them.
Yeah.
And he had big, long, blonde, curly hair, and they used to just... He'd sit there like just a normal guy, and they'd be putting rollers in his hair.
he would have loved that.
Oh,
we still do it to him now.
Girls, come on. Perfect for him.
But they
were the magic
joy.
Days for me, because we were living in a trailer. It wasn't long before that. You know, I was driving a truck with a caravan on the back, and Marie and I and Zoe was born. Then we would live in the caravan. And roll the car out, make some money, go on to the next race. But this was all in Europe. And I think Britain never quite did that, because you used to do the race and come back. No matter how long the drive was, at least you get home.
Mm.
But that wasn't the case. You'd be in Zandvoort one day, which is in Holland, and the next day you could be in Northern Italy the next week. And you just drive between the two, and hopefully somebody would come with money. Very seldom would I have a driver for the season. I mean, it was a guy here and a guy there and somewhere there, and they'd pay you for that. And if they were good enough, you'd get prize money, and then you wouldn't leave the circuit without getting... Nowadays, it's all transfers from banks to banks. At that stage, you wouldn't leave the track until they paid you, and because you wouldn't have the money to go down
the road. Nice brown envelopes.
It was all legit and all clear. This is your money for fifth place, and you wait for the money, and you'd have enough to get petrol to go.
Wow.
You know, you'd be in Misano one day in the east part of Italy, near Ancona, and the next thing you'd be in Sicily for the next race. And that's how it went. And, you know, so Johnny Herbert knows all about that. And then I had a European team, Jean Alesi, Martin Donnelly, and they were all guys. And that was the most fascinating time. I absolutely loved. My memories of that now are probably the best of ever. Formula One was far too serious, far too stressful, far too money orientated. Bernie had it by a stranglehold. I absolutely love Bernie, but, you know, you never knew from one end of the week to the other whether you would be able to survive it. And people often say to me, what's the best part of Formula One? Mm. And I said, to survive it. That's true. You know, to actually make it from one end to the other without going bankrupt as a private individual, because it was a private team. We didn't have big manufacturers. We didn't have any other major partners. So we did it. It was Marie and I. I'd come home. She didn't really want to hear about the detail of the aggravation factor. And just coming back to the Michael Schumacher, what people may not fully understand, and why would they, I suppose, because they don't know, but when he did his first ever trial, the Friday, he didn't do the test on the Friday, and the reason being was because the bailiff had come and locked the doors of the truck, and we weren't able to let him until Bernie got enough money from the people at the gate to pay the bailiff off, which allowed the locks off the truck, roll the car out and put the car on the track. That's true.
I mean, you say, and you're looking back on it now, and it's obviously incredible stories and memories, but that must have been stressful at the time. You've got a young family, you're trying to put food on the table, you don't even know if you're going to race that weekend to generate enough cash.
Well,
to feed your kids.
I've been very, very fortunate in terms of health-wise, and I've only been really ill once, and that was in 91, and there is absolutely no doubt about my mind that the stress and the illness was directly linked to the financial stress of Formula One. Mm. And people talk about stress of this, that, and the other, but when you've got a number of people, and at that time I probably had less than 100 people working, but you've got suppliers and staff and sponsors and people and their wives and their kids going to school, and you realise how many people are semi-dependent on you or fully dependent on you, and you realise, man, this is so stressful. The obligation of finding money to pay them every week, and one of the great feelings of satisfaction that when I'm in a paddock and I'm walking up and down like I was last weekend in Singapore, not one person who's ever worked for Jordan can say that I owe them money. Not one person, not one supplier, not one. Everyone got paid. Mm. And, you know, when I now reflect back over what people maybe sometimes, unfortunately, have been in a bad position, have left me short of money and haven't paid me. But I paid, Jordan Grand Prix paid every single person. Mm. And that's why I can go into any motorhome, I can go up and down the place. So that gives me great satisfaction.
And you can sleep easy at night.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.